And that's good news. He did so much for us. That's why we love to praise His name. We're delighted that God has watched over us and brought us to this place, that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. A way of saying, thank you, Lord, for all of your bountiful blessings. We are indeed happy that God loves us, and we love this place. We love what He has blessed us with, even though it was contaminated and is still that way and will be that way until He destroys this place. But He has another place for those who love Him. For those who love Him. And it's only for those who love Him. Do you love Him? He says, now, if you love me, let me know it. If you love me, show it. If you love me, keep what? My commandments. Not yours. Keep my commandments. We're delighted to see all who have come. Particularly glad to see those of you who are visiting with us today. And we trust that by the grace of God that you won't wait until next Mother's Day to visit with us and encourage us in the Lord's kingdom. And today is dedicated, I'm told, as Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Blessed Mother's Day to all of you mothers. And I trust all of you mothers know Jesus and what He would have you to do. Because if you do know Him and do His will, He has a place, prepared for us to live with Him, His Father, and all of the righteous forever. Amen. There is no turning back. No such thing as yesterday. It's always hello today. But you said that a long time ago. Well, I don't even know if they're going to be talking about time in eternity, because eternity is forever. Mother's Day. You're special people, mothers. And particularly godly mothers. And that's what I want to talk with you about in just a few minutes. A godly mother. A godly mother. You do have your Bibles. You did bring your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, you make sure you see me or see one of our elders or deacons after we dismiss, and we will see what we can do to eliminate that circumstance of not having a Bible. It's not something that you want. It's something that we need. We need to know the will of God, because the day is coming when we are going to stand before Him, and He's going to judge how we lived while He blessed us to live on planet Earth. But mothers, you're special creatures. You're special people. Turn in your Bible, the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 10. You didn't dash out and forget your Bible, did you? Those of you who have Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 1. A godly mother. And the chapter opens. This particular lady didn't have a child. Married, but not a child. Now we're going to be reading this chapter And we're going to come to some word. I'm going to pause and let you read it in your mind. I think there's only about one or two that I'm going to do that way, because it's a special word, so special that I don't know really how to pronounce it and do it justice. Now, I can pronounce it, but it might do it not justice. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now, there was a certain man of Ramath M. Zophiam of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, or Jerom, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. Amen. We got through that one. And he had two wives. The name of the first one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children. That's important. Hannah had no children. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning, really. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons, Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were where they went to worship. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters, portions. That is, they went with them to worship also. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. Now we get there with where we're going and we're eating. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And that's the woman that we're going to be talking about this morning. And her adversary also provoked her sore. That was his other wife. For to make her fret, to just be unpleasant to her, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did, as her husband did every year, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked Hannah. Therefore, Hannah wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, to the place where they went, sat upon a seat by a post in the of the temple of the Lord. And his wife, the she in verse 10, was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept much or sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord, this is the vow, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. She doesn't just want a child. She wants a man child. She says, then, if you do that, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, isn't that something for a mother to say? I will give unto you, Lord, him all of his days upon the earth. What does that infer? That statement infers, other than the fact that I want you to give me a child, it infers that she's going to do what? You give me a child, and I'm going to train him up, knowing you and how he would have you to live. Did you follow that? Mothers, do your part. Now, once they become adult, you can't make them do. But do your part. Verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, one of the priests there, saw her mouth moving, marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been sipping on something, drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long? How long wilt thou be drunken? Put the bottle away. Put away your wine from thee. And Hannah responded. She answered, says, No, my lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Balaam, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. I don't have a problem with that. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition or your prayer that you have asked him for. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the women went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Do you see that? What do you notice there? We sing the song, take your burden to the Lord. And what's the rest of it? And leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. She had taken her burden to the Lord. She rose up and ate. And her countenance, latter part of verse 18, her countenance was no more sad. She left it there. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramoth. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, had relations with his wife, and the Lord remembered her prayer. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she did what? Bear a son and called his name Samuel. Are you all following this morning? Now, in order to do what Hannah did, as far as having a request and taking it to the Lord, what does that infer? It infers that you need to have a relationship with the Lord. You need to have a relationship with the Lord. You need to be a child of God. Latter part of verse 20. The name of Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house, that's her husband, went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and I will be bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide my son forever. She didn't forget the vow that she made to the Lord. When we obey the gospel, we should not forget the promise, the vow that we make to the Lord. Verse 23. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thou good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. Follow the Lord's guidings. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour. Ephah of flour. And a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman, I am the one that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord thereof. Her goal, her desire was to have a child. Her goal was to train him up in such a way that he would be a loyal servant of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his Father, God. What a woman. A godly mother. Mothers are perhaps the most powerful and influential class of people upon the face of the planet. I know her husband, he's big and plenty muscle, but that lady, mild and meek and loving the Lord, power beyond measure. The head of the home is the father, but I dare say the heart of the home is mama. First Samuel that we read tells us of a woman by the name of Hannah who was barren and prayed to the Lord for a child, so that she could raise him up and give the child back to God. I believe that we have some principles here based upon the life of Hannah and the Word of God for raising up godly children. And godly children living their lives, parents living their lives to the maximum for his purposes. We have here the principle of a magnificent priority. Verses 10 through 11, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 that we just read a few minutes ago. Hannah's priority was for the God that she served to bless her. Bless her to have a child. And as we read the entire chapter, we see that she was wanting not just a child, but a male child that she could give back to the Lord for service. So there is power. Listen to me now. There is power in prayer, in the prayers of those who have a relationship with God. We know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. But the child of God, the person of God who has a relationship with God, God does not ignore your prayers. Children should be prayed for even before they are born. There are other examples in God's Word or in the Bible of women who prayed to God for a child. And God used the children to bless and to help and to change the world. Look at us. Look at us. You see how I put that U.S. there? Look at us. Us children. We're living on planet Earth, serving God, and having an impact by the power of God, doing things God's way. That way, God can bless our doings. Other examples in the Bible of women who prayed for a child. That's Sarah and Isaac, Rachel and Joseph, Ruth and Obed, Elizabeth and John, the baptizer. Oh, church, that's the power of prayer. Take the time in the child's coming into the world, youngsters, teaching them to talk to God and always stay in a relationship with God. Live your life in such a way that God will hear your prayers. Prayer, godly prayer, is the most powerful instrument that humans have on planet Earth. We have access. When we live according to the will of God, when we become the children of God and live accordingly, we have access to He who has all power everywhere. To go to the ends of the earth, He said, I'm there. It's critically important. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it's critically important that we continue to live our lives. We know a lot is going on that's unpleasant now. And that's been always since Adam and Eve, because God didn't please what they did. But there's the power of prayer. Our voice enters the gates of glory, and God hears the prayers of the righteous. Not only that, she had particular purpose. She prayed for a child, and she had special purpose for that child. Hannah's purpose was to give me a child so that I can give him back to you. And that should be the resolve of every parent. God blessing your relationship in the home with a child, training him up in the nurture and the admonition of God. It's a wonderful purpose, and it's a purpose that pleases God. And it not only trains up the child, but it causes the giver, the teacher, the trainer, to grow stronger. Our prayers and our priorities determines our purpose. Hannah's purpose was to give her child back to God. If this child is a gift from God, then I must give him back to God. Preacher, you've been preaching now. Well, since I've been preaching just a few minutes, I'll preach another few minutes. Peace, all is well. Many times, when we pray, we are more concerned with comfort and more concerned with material matters than we are with loving God, following Him, and doing His will as He has commanded us. And that's sad. That's a sad testimony. It won't help us get to glory pleasing ourselves unless we have come into a relationship with God and our goal becomes a goal like the goal that Peter had and that Paul had after God. Notice I said Paul, I didn't say Saul. Did you get the difference? Oh, well, you read your Bible, you'll get the difference. And Paul will be glad to tell you about the difference, because he'll be so very, very happy, because he knew what happened to him on the Jericho Road. Now, not only that, magnificent, not just magnificent purpose, but magnificent persistence. Not only did Hannah pray for a child before he was born, but she continued to pray for him and trained him up so that at the appropriate time, when he was old enough to take him to the temple and let him stay there in the presence of Samuel and be continually trained in the ways that God would have him to live on planet Earth. Church, she continued to pray for him. She prayed for him before, and after God gave him to her, she prayed for him when he was born, and she prayed for him after he was born. So then, no matter how dark your situation may be, no matter how dark your circumstances may be, just keep the faith and keep praying. Keep the faith. Keep trusting in God. And know that he's going to answer your prayer. He's going to answer your prayer. Now, he may not always say yes. He may not always say no. He may always say wait. Sometimes he may just say wait. And that was the case with Hannah. He was just having her to wait. Pray. Keep on praying. And if you have children already, keep praying for them also. Now you can't, once children grow up, you can't make them do. But you want to instill something in them while they are young that they will regret when they walk away from what you've taught them. And prayerfully, that will cause them to come back again. Thank God for mothers. Praying, don't just pray for your children now. Pray for yourself also as you deal with your children. Because that's a challenge. Especially when they get a little age on them and think they're grown. I know you all probably don't know what I'm talking about, but they're chilling. Think they're grown. And some of them start early thinking they're grown. 9 and 10. Peace, all is well. And there was persuasion. Hannah, she trained, she influenced Samuel for God's purpose. Train. We thank God for mothers. This is not Father's Day, this is Mother's Day. We thank God for mothers. Train the children and teach them to serve God and teach them that God is everywhere. Even though I'm not everywhere, but God is everywhere. You cannot go anywhere and be out of God's sight. So the principle that Hannah has manifested, she trained him, and her training influenced Samuel for God's use. That's what we want to do. Mothers, keep doing what you're doing. Would you believe? I don't remember how old my mother was when she passed, but when she was up and about, I was living in Richmond. Grown. Preaching in Richmond. And from time to time, we had to get a phone call. We'd be chatting, and I'd be getting some advice. She never stopped training me. It may seem like it, but she never stopped training me. Thank God for godly mothers. Godly mothers, listen carefully. By the grace of God, you have the potential to change the world. Not the people in Congress, in the home, changing the world by teaching and training your children godly principles. So that they will grow up having a love for God and a respect for his word. Children, there is no other person on planet Earth like a godly mother. If your mother is still living, let her know that you like her, that you thank her, and that you love her. Take time. Don't ever get too busy. Grown folks, don't ever get too busy for mama. Teenagers, don't ever get too busy for mama. If it were not for mama, you wouldn't even be here. Thank God for mama. And thank God for the training that you gave you. Don't forget it, because of her love. Mothers, thank God for you. Godly mothers, please, don't stop. Don't stop. Help your children. And whenever opportunity presents itself, don't hesitate to help somebody else's children. Now, it's important now to nowadays to be careful at how you do it. Back in the day, some of you are too young to know about back in the day, or too old to remember. Excuse me. But back in the day, everybody, all grown folks in the neighborhood, trained us. Miss Jane down the corner saw you doing what you shouldn't be doing. No. She wouldn't wait to take you home or take you back to your house. If she had a switch, she'd take care of you right now if you rose up against her and took her. Then she would take you to your mama and tell her what she did. And you know what her mama did? I'm not going to sue you. Sue. They couldn't even spell sue. You might get another one of what you just got down the street. You'd be better off if she just tell you to go on home, boy. And thank God that's all she did, was say go on home. But to go with you to your house and tell mama, trouble in my way, trouble in my way. Godly mothers, you're valuable. Godly mothers who love the Lord and live according to His will, you are irreplaceable. We thank God for you. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we study your Bible, we know, we have a good idea of how you would have us to live on your planet Earth. Even after the fall, we thank you, God, for your loving kindness. We thank you for your patience, and we thank you for the gift that you gave. The mother that we talked about this morning, she was just an example of what you would do years later. She gave her son, and you gave your only begotten son. We thank you for your love. We thank you for godly mothers. We thank you for loving husbands. We pray, O God, that you will bless each of us and continue to bless particularly mothers today, that they will be influenced by what they read in your Bible and how they are to train up, the role that they play in training up the children and the nurture and the admonition of you. May they never falter. May they never get tired of training their children, irrespective of what age they may be. We thank you for the mothers who are here today. We pray, O God, that we will lay your word to heart and remain steadfast and unmovable in training up children the way that you have commanded. May their faith in you and their zeal never wane. And may they never get tired of doing godly things and godly ways. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, God sent his son. He stayed for 33 years on planet Earth. God sent his son for our benefit, to bring us back to him. He sent his son on a mission that he knew was dangerous, that he knew would cost his life. And yet, he sent him anyway. There is no question that you, as an individual human being, and us as a collective group of human beings, we are critically important to God. If we were not important to God, he never would have sent his son. He only had two people on planet Earth. He could have wiped them out, created two more. But he didn't do that. And he knew the price that he was going to pay because of his love. Let us not ignore the manifestation of God's love, the extent he went to please us. We are here. We are here on planet Earth to please him. He sent his son to put us back to be, so that we would be able to get back into a relationship with him to do his will. That's why he sent Jesus to die. He didn't send his son here to die just so that we could roam around and still do whatever we wanted to do. He wants us to know what he wants us to do and live according to his will. You know better than anyone else in this audience. Anyone else in this audience. Whether or not you're doing that which pleased God. Now remember, God paid a high price to put you and put me, put us in a situation, in a particular situation, in a group of circumstances, so that we could have a relationship with him. An open relationship with him. Are you going to ignore that? Are you going to ignore what God has done? Manifest. Manifest your love of God. Your love of what he has done for you and for us. By making a decision. If you're walking with the Lord, you've already made your decision to keep going with him. But if you have walked with God and you have walked away from his ways, why did you do that? Who died for you that you might do that? He is saying to you this morning, I've extended your life for a purpose. I've extended your life for a purpose. You will never be able to say that I didn't give you an opportunity to return to me. Or you will never give me an opportunity to hear what you would have me to do. That opportunity has been given since Jesus Christ died on the cross in AD 33. You want to be a child of God? Do you truly want to do that which pleases God so that you can live forever with him after you leave this world? You don't want to go to the other place. And for those who don't, and you're not in the body of Christ, and I specifically say in the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. You remember what Jesus told his apostles after he rose from the grave? Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, to the end of the world. Make a decision. I don't know, you don't know, whether you will ever see another Mother's Day. But he has blessed us to see this one. Make the decision. He's blessed us to be here. He's blessed us to hear about an example. He's blessed us to hear about the example that he set. Are you a child of God? Have you been saved by God? God has one way to save people, to adopt you, and that's expressed in the book of Acts chapter 2. You have heard the word of God. Have faith in me, God. Because of your faith in me and what you've heard in my word, be godly sorrowful for the sinful life that you've lived that I was not pleased with and that I'm not pleased with. Acknowledge your faith in me and that you believe that Jesus Christ is indeed my son who died for you. And then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. God will add you to his family. And the only church I read about in the Bible is the church of Christ. Let me say that again. The only church I read about in the Bible is the church of Christ. Now you can do whatever you want to do, but what are you going to do at the judgment? Because God tells us ahead of time in the book of Revelation chapter 20 that this is the book that's going to be open. You can read it in your Bible. Chapter 20, Revelation. This is the book that's going to be open. This is the book that we're going to be judged out of. Since this is the book that's going to be open, since this is the book that we're going to be judged out of, what sense does it make to work in a church that's not in the Bible that's going to be open at the judgment? The catechism is not going to be open at the judgment. The Bible is going to be open at the judgment. The only other books that's going to be opened up are the books on our individual lives. The books, every God is keeping a record on every one of us. My book is going to be there open. Your book is going to be open. You can't tell God, you won't be able to tell God, well, I didn't know that you had just one church. Because you're here now, and you're not deaf. One Lord, you read it. One faith, one baptism. That's in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. Where do you stand this morning? The water's ready, the baptizer's ready, the garments are ready. The only question that we have is, are you ready to make a decision? For the Lord to make sure that you're right with God. You say, what about Jam? What about Mary? What about doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo? I don't know about all those people. I don't know about all those people. I don't know if they heard the gospel. You can't tell them that. You can't tell them that. Because you're in this audience, and we talked about one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The decision is yours. And if you're here and you're already a member of the body of Christ and you know that you've lived a life that's not in compliance with his will, even though I'm one of his children, come on home this morning. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ and spend the rest of your days serving his purpose for your life on planet Earth. If you're here by the disposition, we pray that God will bless you to make a God-honoring decision as we together stand and sing the song. Let's be selective.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us taste always to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call, 'tis a fountain open for all.
Take good care. Take good care of your relationship with God, if you have one. It's critically important that we take time to get to know Him better by fellowshipping with His saints and by studying His Word. Not just when you come here, but studying His Word when you leave here as well. Get to know God. You don't like pain. Who does in their right mind? He tells us clearly what it's going to be like if you don't do my will, my way. Same chapter, same book, Revelation chapter 20. But then, there, it's going to be forever. There is no repenting over there once you get there. Here, you walk contrary, he'll let you out. Here, you can ask for forgiveness. Here, but not there. Make your calling and election sure. You say, well, I want to wait. Wait for what? You can have a guarantee? God tell you you're going to live to so many days or so many weeks, so many months, so many years? He's given you that promise. You hope and pray that, well, you hope for it, but you don't know that that's going to happen. People are doing crazy things every day to innocent people. You hear the news, the sad news. You trying to scare us? No, I'm just trying to make you think and make a decision that God will honor. One more verse and be seated.
There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows while the waters roll. Let the weary soul hear the call that forth free.